Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think I'm going to speak for all the guys in Delanon. We pretty much hate Adam.
Get out of here, you low-life scum.
That's your welcome back. I mean, that's what the folks are saying.
You know, there's a hotel in, I think it's a hotel, in Las Vegas called the Delano.
The Delano. Oh, there's a famous one in Miami, too. Maybe it's all...
It's attached to the, well, it's part of the Mandalay Bay property.
That's where you were rolling, with the high-end folks at those places. That's your sort of lifestyle.
Not at Mandalay Bay. Boy, it's hard to, in seriousness, it's hard to look at Mandalay Bay now and...
What do you think? Have they, Adam is back from Vegas. Lindsay's here. Chad here. That'll be the last time in my life I'll refer to myself as Chad. Has Mandalay Bay suffered financially?
Has to have.
Right? I mean, would it affect, you guys end up staying somewhere else. But if before, you would have been semi-regulars staying there, would you have then pivoted, do you think, because of that?
Well, I mean, if you're a semi-regular and you're, you know, getting comped and it's a casino that's been good to you, you probably have a different view. But if you're John Q once or twice a year to Vegas or once every couple of years and you, it's like, boy, we could stay at the Mandalay Bay or we could stay at another of the fine properties there, I'm thinking you're probably going to say, ugh.
I haven't faced that yet. I don't think it would affect me. Now, I don't think
I'd still stay at the Mandalay Bay.
I don't think they're giving the paddock route. Did they knock that all down?
I don't know if they not. I'm sure they've closed it off. And
were they going to do anything with it and turn it into something else so it could function? Or are they just going to say?
I think they just got to
for perpetuity
knock that off.
Yeah, Lindsay, what do you think? If you and John were going to Vegas, and you'd heard great things about Mandalay Bay, because I think it's a great hotel. I've not stayed there, but I've spent time there.
I've been in the hotel.
You have not?
The casino. I don't think so.
Oh, it's. I think it's great. I think it's one of the best ones out there. Would you avoid it now because of the horrible events of last fall?
I don't know if I would avoid it. It wouldn't be first on my list. But if it was something that was planned and I didn't have control of it, like say we were going for a convention or something, I would have probably no problem staying there. I definitely would think about it. But the issue is I mean, that granted it was on such a large scale, but that could be really said about a lot of places you visit,
mm-hmm.
about stuff that has happened there.
Yeah, you would eliminate a lot of things. Let's break early because I want to get to a lot of Adam's trip to Vegas. We're very glad he's back. Although, Lindsay thought the chemistry with Susie was really good. I had to counsel her.
A lot of people have said that.
Yeah, I had to counsel her. Are you ready for the news?
I'm ready.
You got a nice Wolves long sleeve.
Ready to howl. I'm howling.
We're howling at the game Wolves tonight. Let's see if they show up unlike last game. Welcome back. Hey, it's time for Keyword for Cash. Your chance to win $1,000. We're going to talk to Adam about Vegas. When you think of Vegas, you think of night. It basically should be night all the time. Right? There are no clocks anywhere. They want you to be in that night mindset to make money. Night is the word. N-I-G-H-T. Text it to 72881. 72881. Hopefully you get a phone call. You know the word is night, and you win $1,000. We'll play again at 1:12. One I play right now. Again, night. And Texas 72881. Okay, so you go to Vegas. How did you decide Vegas for this trip? Why did you go there?
Just kind of wasn't my decision.
You went with group or
yep, okay? Just four of us.
Four of us. Yep.
Jen and her parents.
Yep.
And
has Jen been there before?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay, and she likes it.
Mm-hmm.
The parents like it.
Yo, very much so.
I really, really like Vegas. I think Vegas is a great place. I have zero interest to be on the tables at you know, like this time. You know, I don't want to grind away.
Yeah.
I play blackjack. I'll play La Craps. But I don't. I want to find other things to do during the day. You know, did you venture into the tables at all during the day, or
no? You know, I played. I didn't play a lot of blackjack and played slots more too.
Okay,
and just didn't have any luck at all. So
yeah, we're gonna get to that.
Yeah. Have those times where not everything you touch turns to bad luck, and that was one of those cases. But I'm not Mr. Vegas spending a lot of money anyway.
So 0 to 10, your excitement level when you're going to Vegas. Because since I've known you, you've traveled to Vegas a number of times.
Yeah, this is my 5th time there, and I was very excited. Just to get a little warmer temperatures, too,
yeah,
even
that
though
helps.
It wasn't. Again, bad luck there, too. I mean, it wasn't bad. It was like high 60s or low 70s,
yeah,
which is more pleasant than this. But
were you looking to do a little pool time during
the
day?
Yeah, because Mirage has a great pool.
Yeah.
We stayed at the Mirage, and they've got a huge, massive, beautiful pool, but it was not quite exactly pool
not quite
weather
that.
Yet.
Lindsay, what is your excitement level for Vegas on all the places we can go to? If we just stay in the country, okay, we don't broaden out outside the states, where are you and going to Vegas and having fun out there?
Well, so the issue is that I've been to Vegas. Well, I've actually been twice, but once I was like 16, so it really doesn't count. I went with my girlfriends when we were 24, and it was the perfect trip.
Yeah,
I mean, we stayed too long. We did Thursday night to Monday morning, and it was way too long. By Sunday, we were ready to go.
And that's the difference. It's like I remember because my bachelor party was out there, and it was Thursday through Sunday, and people told me, oh, yeah, that's too long. And when I woke up Saturday morning, I knew exactly what they meant because I wanted to get out.
Right.
But this is obviously much different lifestyle for me now, so it was actually perfect amount of time. And again, like you mentioned, the food out there is just incredible.
It's amazing.
Also, but the myth, even though I think I probably realized this the last few times I've gone, there used to be that thing, oh, you know, you can do Vegas on the cheap. That's a myth. That's an expensive
town. It's really, really, really hard.
It is really hard. They don't really have a lot of the quick, you know, cheap bites to eat anymore. Yeah. Most of the even like burger joints are tied to some big time chef.
Maybe a better chance downtown to do it a little cheaper.
Yeah, still. Well, but we went to a classic old steakhouse downtown in the Four Queens called Hugo's Cellar.
Okay.
Old school steakhouse.
Right. Where,
you know, it's all guys, older guys working.
Yep.
They give the women a rose when they show up. I mean, but it was so good. You know, you can still go to the convenience stores and buy your beer and stuff and walk around with a beer. That's the cheaper way to go.
Right. Because
if you go to a bar and have to buy your drinks, I mean, it'll jaw-dropping how expensive it is.
Well, see, when we went, we were 24, so we didn't do the food side. I would go back as an adult and do a little bit more of the higher-priced eating. We ate at McDonald's an awful lot, the MGM Grand. What makes me laugh is one of my favorite movies growing up as a child, which is very strange, is Honeymoon in Vegas with Nicolas Cage and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
And isn't that set at the Mirage in the pool?
I believe so, yeah.
I think so, too. And I just – I'm looking at the pictures of it. And
it's a huge pool.
So we stayed at MGM Grand, and we were there in mid-May. And, because it was right during the horse racing. And, man, getting to be by the pool during the day.
Good luck.
Oh.
No, we had a blast.
I'm saying it was awfully crowded, though, right? I mean.
It was crowded, but we had a good group of people. Yeah. We had a good time.
Last time I was there was 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and it was fall and stayed at Wynn and a fair
beautiful
amount of pool time.
Hotel.
Oh,
Wynn is.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal. You just got to carve out your stuff now.
That's the thing. Now, the last 3 times I've gone and said, okay, we're going to rent a car. We're going to drive to the Hoover Dam. But that town, honestly, it's like they know
there's so much to do.
There's so much to do, and that it's really, it's kind of they keep you.
Oh, yeah.
Right on the strip.
Now, I told you last time I did flew to Grand Canyon and did the helicopter thing. And it was amazing. Not cheap.
No.
Absolutely not cheap, but one of those experiences I am not going to forget. It was so, so cool. Now, did you see a show this time? Or
We went old school, cheesy. We saw 3 different Elvis reviews.
Perfect. And did one stand out more than the other?
Well, we can continue the conversation.
All right, let's do that.
Because I'm all in on the king.
All right. And then we have to talk about how Adam may owe me $800. Okay. $800. We're going to throw that one out to the texters. Does Adam owe me $800 if a certain event takes place? Text away on Vegas, 81807. Among the texts coming in on Vegas, love Vegas. Stay at Westgate, the old Las Vegas Hilton, cool off the strip on Paradise Road.
Yeah, I saw that. That was a name unfamiliar to me, but yeah, now it makes sense. It's the old Hilton.
I'm with you also. Had planned a trip to Vegas, but just mailed them a check that way.
That's how it was for me. Usually it's not too bad. This time was everything I touched.
Got to stop by the Carnegie Deli at the Mirage, get a classic.
We had breakfast at the Carnegie Deli in the Mirage.
They have they started doing this in Vegas, I think, about 15 years ago, where a lot of very successful places across the country, they're out there. I think it's a great idea, right? I mean, they've got their own places, a lot of their own places, but they tried to do this. Somebody wanted to know which airlines you flew out.
Sun Country,
that makes
sense. Dave Lee welcoming me aboard yesterday.
Very nice. Last time I was Vegas with my wife was during the Clinton-Trump debates, and we got stuck an extra night because the airport was shut down. And then we found out the Four Seasons at the top of Mandalay Bay cost less than the Mandalay Bay during that particular time. We spent more in Vegas from Thursday to Sunday than we did almost a week and a half in San Diego.
Yeah.
Okay, gambling. We were talking before, and we were kind of going through some parlay ideas, you know, where you're increasing the odds.
Right.
Better chance to get bigger money, but more difficult to pull it off if you're going three bets, four bets. So were most of your bets parlays?
Yeah, I just did two parlays. Okay. I did both regional finals. Then I added the Wild on both Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
So, I mean.
So the Wild
I'm
won
sure there
Saturday.
Were terrible bets I was making.
Lost Sunday.
I correctly picked both Wild games, but
so you
Loyola
picked
got me on Saturday.
Sister Jean, thanks a lot.
Then my Dukies lost in overtime. Otherwise, I would have hit that one.
And what would that have been worth?
I put down 20. I think it would have been like $140.
Right. Yeah. See, I like doing the parlays. It's harder.
Right.
There's just.
I'm not a sports gambler by any means. I mean, I had to. I'm there Googling on my phone like money lines and what they mean. That's one of those things that I learn at the time, then I forget about it.
Yeah. So we had talked a little Masters before.
Mm-hmm.
And then I texted and said, hey, get me some odds.
Yeah.
Right. And the person who I think is going to win the Masters this year is Justin Rose, right? I think outside of Spieth, among the big knockers, they're all playing fantastic. Okay, literally. Mickelson finally wins. Tiger King close twice. DJ's great. Justin Thomas is the best player on the planet right now. Rose has been great since last year. Those are your main guys, right? And... you know, Spieth is a lot of Jordan, you know, but every time he goes there, he's got a chance to win. So you sent me some odds. Rose is at 16 to 1. So I say, put 50 down.
Yep.
I will pay you back. Mm-hmm. And I meant that. And I'm thinking, okay, that'd be pretty. That's 800 bucks. So you said, yes, all in. I assume we were all in until I received a text from you yesterday.
I failed to realize that, you know, those odds would change after events. There was an event going on last weekend. Did he play in that?
No.
Well, that's strange, too.
He wasn't in it. That was the match play. He was out.
So I'm thinking, you know what? I'm just had stuff going on. And
yeah, there's no
you know, so hard to get to a sports book.
There's no casino anywhere.
So I'm thinking, you know, I'll just do it when I head out of town. So
yeah,
we get
thanks.
Packed yesterday morning. And I said, you know, and our Uber's on the way. By the way, that's my tip.
Yeah,
Uber in Vegas.
Yeah,
it's not close.
Don't even think about
the
cabs.
price difference.
Okay. Right.
So, I ran down to the sports book and pulled out the old Masters sheet. Justin Rose now is 6-1, and one of the favorites. So I figure, you know.
So Lindsay, what do you think?
That's $300.
Lindsay, what do you think? He had assured me the bet was going to take place at 16-1. I'm willing to turn him into the book. I'm willing to give him $50, but if Justin Rose wins, he owes me $800. Now, I think people would realistically say, because I'm not sure, I know I saw a headline the other day that the Masters field is the smallest it's been in years and years. But realistically, there's probably...
How is that possible? Don't they have the same amount of players every
different
year?
Different invites, okay, and different things. What do you think? Is there 20 guys who can win the Masters? 25, right?
I suppose, yeah.
Let's go 25. So there's 25 guys who realistically can win the Masters. Normally the out-of-the-ordinary U.S. Open shocker, or British Open shocker, PGA, that just doesn't happen. So there's 25 guys. Should Adam, being the decent person that he is, because he was
$800.
Because he was reckless, take the chance. Take the chance of $50. But if Justin Rose wins, Justin Rose is one of the, at worst, 7 best players on the planet. He's got to pay me $800.
Well, I'm going to go 2 routes here. One, I would imagine that all the listeners are going to side with Adam on this because that's typically how they roll. I'm siding with Adam on this just because
I think I'm going to speak for all the guys in Dallin on. We pretty much hate Adam.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The ladies love Adam.
No.
I'll say this, and you know I love you. You're moody, and if you owe Chad $800, I feel like that just makes my life a little bit more worse.
Edge.
Okay.
So I'm sorry. I have to go.
Let's switch the bet. Let's switch the bet. You pay me $50.
Yeah.
You get Justin Rose, and if Justin Rose wins,
you'll pay me $800.
$800.
Oh, I gotta take that.
I don't know. I know. I gotta.
Let's see.
I'm not as good.
I saved you. Look, I was like William. You remember the movie The Cooler with William H. Macy?
Yes, I do.
He was the cooler.
You were so
cold. I was
cold.
The cooler.
You were so cold.
The slot machine I was playing, I left to go do some. Came back. Here's a woman sitting as she just hit the jackpot on it. And I honestly, I've never had that bad of luck. Also, one last conversation.
How are you going to feel if on the back nine, Justin Rose is leading by 4 strokes?
I feel better than you would.
That is correct.
I ran into a member of a family just randomly out there. What family did I meet a member of?
The Francis family.
Bingo.
Of course.
Right. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, there's 5,000 of
Pat
Jimmy
Francis, who runs a country chef up in Annandale.
Yeah, I mean, there's
walking by. Hey, there's Pat Francis.
What about the new place they're building in South St. Paul?
Yeah, the Kaposia Club.
Yeah.
No, but in all honesty, how many kids are in that
11.
Family again? Jeez, those people are saints.
Yeah.
Well, not only are Jimmy's parents saints for 11 kids, but they're saints because Jimmy's one of them. Is he the worst, in all honesty? Or are like,
worst
big personalities?
What a cheap shot that
is. He probably does. No, there's a lot of, I mean, they all have very different
personalities. I bet they're all shy and really timid.
No, they're all fairly
outgoing. I've met a couple of them.
I was joking, knowing Jimmy.
Yeah, but Jimmy, yeah, he's the most out there.
30 past 12. Glad Carter's back. Jason DeRusha in a matter of minutes on CCO.
There comes a time in a man's life when he needs to look to a higher power for guidance.
There's
and
butts for everybody. What's the story with butts, by the way?
For Chad Hartman, that higher power is morning news anchor and Twitter celebrity, Jason DeRusha. It's
Wipe
time
down, Genie.
For Chad to ask, what would Jason do?
Here he is. I briefly heard him chatting with Lindsay. Are you enjoying a little lunch right now?
Big lunch time here in the DeRusha house. We got a couple of cousins, my kids' cousins, so my niece and nephew are in town for break. So
nice.
In town for a couple weeks, and a couple days, and then we go visit. We go to Chicago this afternoon. Off we go.
Oh, nice! How long are you staying?
Just through Easter, so spent a couple days in the city and a couple days hanging out with my family in the suburbs.
Excellent. I've got a number of dating/bartending topics for all of us to discuss.
Nobody knows more about dating than me.
Yes, I said that about you just a few minutes ago on the mothership there.
Well, okay.
So this is one I've seen a couple times here lately. If it's a first date, whether it's a setup, it's a dating app, are we still at a point? Jason, you go first, then Adam and Lindsay, you chime in next. Are we still at a point in the traditional sense that the guy always has to pay? Or have those days passed us a long, long time ago?
I mean, if I were in the dating pool, I would always want to pay. But from talking to my friends who are single, it seems like we're pretty squarely in a both split the check kind of a scenario.
Adam, that's what I would have guessed. But one of the stories I read recently, Carter, was where the woman was very upset and assumed that, listen, I still operate that way, and so you're telling me you're not going to pay? And she got up and she walked out before the bill came. I mean, that's one way to avoid paying.
And you don't have to pay.
Yeah, Adam, what's your sense?
I haven't been down that road in so long that
yep.
I would probably be surprised that it is more even, but I'm like Jason. I would think that, you know, I'd still be inclined to want to pay.
Lindsay, what about your single friends when they're out? What do they sense?
I have some single friends who are pretty old school, where if the guy asks you out, he's paying. And then I have some who fall into this area of if you allow a man to pay and it's just casual at the beginning, there's a feeling of expectation. For example, say if I'm at the bar, and this was in my single days, and someone offers to buy me a drink, then I feel obligated to have to talk to that person, and I don't want to do that. If I'm at the bar, I'm sorry? Mm.
You feel obligated to talk to that
person. It's like the Minnesota passive-aggressive. I don't want to say to him, like, hey, I'm not interested. I'm here. Because here's the thing is I think a lot of people don't understand, and I should say men, although women probably do it too.
Men don't understand this. Let's go with it, Adam. Men. Yeah.
If a group of women are at a bar and are kind of closed off and just talking to each other and aren't really experiencing what's happening around them, they're there to spend time with those three people or those four people. If they're
what if Channing Tatum walks in and wants to buy one of them a drink?
He can come over and offer. I'm just saying that the majority of the time, women at the a group of people at the bar are there to spend time with those people.
Yep.
I think Chad's question, though, is a question that I ask my coworkers a lot, because this is one of the challenges of dating, right? And the challenges of our world is that because it's all about whether you're into it or not. So if you're into it and you're with a group of girls and Channing Tatum shows up, it's probably more than welcome that he would offer to buy you a drink and come and say hello. But if, you know,
one of
Larry
us.
The plumber comes over on his third divorce and looks like me, it's maybe a different scenario.
I mean, that's fair. I don't think that's all women, though, or all men by any means.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing is all women or all men.
Nothing is all, but
I just stipulate that. But I think it's a little. I think if you're hot, it's fine. And if you're not, nobody wants it.
Adam, you're out with your buddies. And a few of them are single, and it's just a guy's night. But all of a sudden, Kate Upton shows up and buys one of your buddies a drink. You think that guy's going to stay with you guys, or is he going to go talk to Kate Upton?
Jeez, let me think.
You know what, Kate, I'm really sorry. This is just, Tuesday night is for the boys.
Yeah, you're out.
Sorry.
All right, next one. When having a crush while in a relationship is okay. Jason, can you be in a committed relationship, have a crush on somebody, whether it's through work, health club, something, and that is okay?
Yeah, as long as you don't get caught or talk about it, I think it's fine.
I think that's it, because in this story, it points out at one point, should you ever tell your partner about the crush? Good luck to you on that one. I mean, how are you gonna feel if Alyssa comes home?
Alyssa, is it okay if I have a crush on somebody else? She's looking. She just doesn't even understand. No. Do you understand the question?
Yeah.
No. She's like.
Yeah. How would you?
She says it's fine if I don't. If I don't what? If I don't act on it. Do you want me to tell you about it? Who I have a crush on?
Yeah. No.
She said sure.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
We'll have a conversation off air then.
Yeah. Let. Well, can we listen in? How would you feel if Alyssa came home and said, "Hey, remember when you were being silly on the radio? I got to tell you. Daniel and I, there's just some chemistry. Trust me, right. I'm not going to do anything, but man, is he hot.
No.
And I mean, we click. But I just want to be honest, and I want to tell you.
I'd be thrilled.
You'd be happy for?
It's the same analogy you made about the bar. If Alyssa came home and was talking about, you know, meeting, she met Joe Biden, and yep. She just thinks he is so charismatic and so attractive, mm-hmm. And she keeps going on and on about him. It's very different if she meets Joe Biden at the Plymouth Gym, you know, this guy that has the same name.
Yeah.
And that's someone she's actually going to interact with in life.
Correct. Everybody's got a celebrity crush.
Yeah.
But if it's somebody you're like your coworker,
yes.
It's like,
yes.
I just come home one day and start talking about how great Adam is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think that's going
to
work.
Start taking John to Buffalo Wild Wings and hope that you have a chance encounter.
Yes. In the era of Tinder dates, bartenders bask in the awkwardness. This has got to be, I mean, it's probably been like this forever, Jason.
Gold mine.
Oh, where you're just a bartender and you're watching, because you can see a lot of this, right, Jason? They show up separately. There's a little more uneasiness than normal. You're watching if they're searching for conversations. You're seeing if there's a connection. Because this story points out the number of times that they can quickly tell it's a Tinder date. And then it's not that out of the ordinary that one of them leaves with someone, but it's not always the person who they met initially.
100% of the time when Alyssa and I are out, we prefer to sit at the bar. And 100% of the time we ask about awkward first date scenarios that play out in front of the bartenders. It's a gold mine. It should be a reality show. I mean,
it should be.
Some of the stories you hear are just spectacular.
Lindsay, what now in your restaurant industry business, could you tell pretty quickly if it was a first date?
Yes. A lot of first dates were not happening at Ocean Air, though.
Yeah.
But I'm with Jason. I always sit at the bar. And most of the time, if I'm sitting at
everybody on this show is.
I know one of the bartenders. You know, if I go to a place that I frequent, and man, the stories. And the best is when you see them unfold in the moment.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good.
I like to live tweet it when I see it happening. It's fun.
I shamed some guy a couple years ago, and I could probably find the tweet. We were at Stella's, shocking, on a Sunday night.
No.
And he left this girl that he had met on Tinder with the tab. He found out he was not going to be getting what he wanted later that night, if you catch my drift.
That's awful.
And he basically was like, I'm not interested in you like that. I came here because I wanted to hook up.
Yep.
And he got up and left. And this poor girl started crying at the bar. And so everyone took care of her tab. The bartender took care of the guy's tab. We all became friends. And then I said, send me all the photos from his Tinder. And this is the best part, is I put them all up on Twitter and people knew who this guy was. I shamed the heck out of him. But the best was...
Wow.
He had the audacity to post photos of, like, him and his mom. And in the bio, it talked about how he was such a family man and he was such a good guy.
Adam, we didn't realize Lindsay had this side of her.
And then he got 86 from the bar because he didn't pay his tab. And now every time he comes in, he gets escorted out. It's amazing.
And it turned out it was Al Shock. I mean, who saw that coming? Hang on, Jason. Make a little more food at home. 47 past 12. More with Jason in a moment. 12:51, that is your Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to improve the look of your home with our clog-free LeafGuard brand gutters. Jason DeRusha back with us. All right, City Pages had this story yesterday. A new program teaches bartenders how to stop sexual harassment and assault. It's Safe Bars, a national training program. The two-hour training is free and covers a spectrum of sexual violence. Sadie Cunningham teaches four ways for bar employees and servers to intervene directly, delegate, distract, and one more, respond. Trainees also learn the verbal and nonverbal cues that indicate the harassment is underway. and they point out some of the places that have tried this. The safe bars training are also helpful when staff are in the victims of harassment inflicted by customers. This is something they experience themselves and see it happening all the time. What do you think, Jason? Is this a smart idea? And all these places should want to stop this. Should we make this a requirement? Should more places look at it? Does it apply? Is it too much hoping that one fits all? What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, you know, it reminds me a little bit of kind of some of the training that like hairstylists get for detecting abuse.
Yep.
Where I think it's good. I mean, I don't know if it should be mandatory. I don't think so, but I do think. If you could prevent that with a kind of well-timed interjection or a subtle, yeah, I don't know. I think that knowledge would be good.
Lindsay, somebody worked at a number of places, and we're just talking about before about, you know, picking up the vibe when people are on a date, and, you know, a lot of people can see that fairly clearly when it's really overt. When they're screaming, when there's yelling, when there's pushing, sure, that stands out. But when it's more subtle, would you feel better if more places had training, whether it's this program or something comparable, to try to step in and slow this down, which all of us, you know, want to see happen?
Oh, absolutely. But I don't think it should just come down to the restaurant staff. I think we are so, as a society, afraid to step in moments.
Yeah.
Where I think if you asked all four of us, there has probably been something that we've seen happen in public that we went home and said, I should have said something. I should have stepped in. I should have checked to make sure they were okay. You know, I've seen it on dates or even people who have been out who get approached and, like, the person won't leave them alone. And you can tell that this person is uncomfortable.
Right. And this person has crossed the line. Not walking away.
But I also think, too, you know, I've read stories. It never happened to me, but where – no, there have been times where I had been as a server or bartender where people touch you inappropriately. Nothing so overt, but I think that there should be training to give your employees a voice. Mm-hmm. Because there is the idea, and Jason, you can touch on this a little bit better from your experiences, the whole idea the customer's always right, you want to provide good service,
yep.
And then all of a sudden you've got your server telling you to, you know, get your hand off their behind,
yep.
Or your whatever, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's, you know, I hope that, I think sometimes we assume that things change at the speed of news, and the reality out there doesn't change that quickly, and so I suspect that there are a lot of servers, a lot of people in the restaurant industry who are, you know, you're not always the victim of sexual harassment or sexual assault, frankly. I mean, you're grabbing someone, it's assault.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always from coworkers. It might be from customers. And I think, you know, if I owned a restaurant, I would feel obligated to provide that kind of training, and especially make sure my managers were empowered to, like, try to nip things in the bud before things get out of hand. You know, you just want to protect your people.
Adam, what about the legal responsibility in this? Because we have the dram shop laws where if, you know, you're the waiter and you keep serving me and I'm well over the limit and I get involved in an accident, you can be on the hook. Should a place, if they're not involved in training and enough people in theory saw, you know, my harassment of Lindsay.
Yeah, there's also Good Samaritan laws too, though, right? Where, I mean, people need to step in certain situations.
How often are those?
I don't know.
Upheld? Jason, do you think of times now where that does happen?
No, I mean, and you know, why is a restaurant? I guess you have more social interactions in a restaurant or a bar. I mean, but you can go a little too far in requiring. What about at a Target?
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, where do you? I guess how do you do that? I don't know. I'm more am interested in making sure you protect people who do choose to intervene from, you know, any sort of consequence. Like Lindsay was suggesting, like the culture is that you're there to please the customer. And so for sure, if you kind of empower your employees to intervene, you know, sometimes they're going to get it wrong, right?
Yeah.
Like sometimes there may not be harassment, and they step in, and it's awkward, and somebody gets really mad. And I think, I guess I would most want to foster an environment where people feel empowered to do the right thing and not be worried that they were going to get called on the carpet if it went wrong.
I got to jump in. Enjoy Chicago, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you.
Jason Durasha with us every Wednesday at 12:35. Let's talk Twins next hour with Derek Falvey on the Home of the Twins.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.